be seated. The doctors are kind of confusing about what they say and do for me. As you know, some of them, that Hershey just gave up on me completely. They only gave me one recourse, and that was to have my voice box taken out. I told them then, I said, I'm a preacher. I can't do that. So we're still fighting. And last time they did the barium test, I think I told you, I passed the first half of it, but when it got down to the thicker items, it didn't go, so I'm working harder. But they also give you this word of caution. Be careful, don't aspirate. And so you got pulling, am I pushing too hard? So I'm not going to swallow until I swallow, right? And live or die, I got to do something. I can't keep around with that. And don't feel sorry for me, just pray for me. God has taught me a lot in the last 3 years about suffering, enduring suffering, and getting some of the rough spots off of me. When you're laying awake at night by yourself, Charlotte and him have taken, by the way, they'll be back Tuesday, but you have a lot of thinking time, and you do a lot of introspective analysis of yourself. Am I really doing what I should do? Am I still what you want? And all I get is positive from God. And he says to me, the doctors and the nurses and all those people, they do the best they can, but they're limited. And the title of my sermon this morning is, How Big Is Your God? I think too many of us worry about stepping out, doing something for God. Well, this might happen, that might happen. And we go around all sad-faced, dragging around all the time. Hey, I can't live like that. I can't live like that. My God's bigger than any problem I got, bigger than any problem you got. My God is big. My problems are not going to take me under. The one that will take me through and over is God Almighty. And God doesn't come along and patty cake you all the time. He says, come on, get up, get moving, let's get doing it. So that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. From that verse that Brother Ed read the scripture in verse 5 of Isaiah 45, I am the Lord. That word Lord means overseer. I'm the God over everything. He put this universe together. The scientists today can't figure it out. The astronomers can't figure it out. The geologists can't figure it out. God knows it all, and I think he delights in that. I am the Lord, and there's none else. There's no place else to go. When a doctor say, we can't do any more for you, John, well, you don't know how big my God is. You don't know how wonderful my God is. He's capable of anything. There's none else. There is no God beside me. I gird thee, though thou hast not known me. God said, listen, you don't know me, but I've known you. In this passage, Scripture even said he knows our names. He knows us all by name. The Bible tells us that if a bird's flying along, a dove and a feather drops out of that bird's tail and hits down, God saw it. And God could go pick that up anytime he wanted to. He knows details. He knows the big picture. He knows the little twirks. They marvel that every time I go to get my checkups, my blood pressure's perfect. My heart rate's fine. They check me out for my cancer. Got another test coming up. Not there. You're amazing. You're still going. But we're still moving. God made it all. Heaven and earth. He's big enough to rule it all. He says he does. The little hummingbirds that come to our house every year from down in Mexico, they've never been here. They're the children of the ones that were here last year. And the one who were here last year go down there and they hatch and come out and come back. When they were building a helicopter, they said, it's impossible. They said, well, the bumblebee can do that. The bumblebee can fly forward and backwards and up and down. So they patterned and engineered the first helicopter by studying the hummingbird, how he did that. Isn't that amazing? And yet they don't want to give God the credit. God spoke and that happened. God takes care of the birds. There's a poem I can't quote at all. I don't know. But the two birds were in the garden. They said, why do the humans fuss and hurry so? The other one says, I guess they don't have a God such as we have. I think that's amazing if they could talk and tell us something. The great God, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. I've told you, I think, two or three times about the geologist at Shippensburg that was trying to tell me. And what they were trying to say was, the world is older than some 6,000. According to God's word, it's not. But they talked billions, eons, years. And then the professor was making a statement, the biggest aging of the rocks, and of course they compare the rocks from the moon with the rocks of the earth. They love calling them lunar rocks. That means you know a word. I heard about the guy that said to the other guy, he said, you need to go to school. He said, why? Get some learning in your head. He said, I already got learning. I know what's in every book and every library in the world. He said, what? He said, words. Words. You know, some people like to flip some of those out to you every once in a while and give you a word. And they don't know what it means themselves. They just say it because it sounds good. Or I love it when preachers try to say, in the Greek. I didn't go to Greek school. I went to a broken English school in Kentucky. Give it to me that way. Amen. Y'all hear me now? You know where we're going? We're going to run down yonder. Can I carry you over there? Yeah, that's a good southern talk. Nice to hear him talk, isn't it? And God made it all. In Colossians 1:16 it says, for by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. So guess what? God made you for himself. Are you walking in God's will? Are you saying, God, what is it you want me to do? Am I pleasing you, God, the way I'm living? You gave me this body. You made me for a purpose. Am I living out that purpose in my life, God? We need to stop and do a little introspective and ask ourselves that. Let's look at some things here. Is anything too hard for God? When Sarah was supposed to have a baby, she laughed at old age. And here's what they said to her. Genesis 18:14. Is anything too hard for God? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. And you know that whole story. She got ahead of God, Abraham with her. He went to his Hagar, his handmaid. She produced a child. And then Sarah looked at her husband and said, get that child out of my house. Makes problems when we don't wait on God and don't do what God wants us to do. We get the wrong pick, do the wrong thing, say the wrong thing. Jeremiah answered that question in Jeremiah 32:17. And we all know about Jeremiah, thrown in prison for preaching the gospel, stayed there till his flesh was rotten off of him. But he pulled him out, had to put pad on ropes to pull him up out of the mud. But he started telling them the same thing. The king wanted to hear something good. Tell me something good about me. Tell me how good I am. Tell me how great I am. He said, no, you're going to die. You're going to die. They said, throw him back in there. He didn't give up. We're not that faithful. Jeremiah 32:17. Ah, Lord God, behold, thou made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out thy arm. There is nothing too hard for thee. Oh, should we do this now? Should we do that? Will we have enough money? Hey, we better follow God. Not the science, not the banker, not the doctor, not the lawyer. Let's follow God. Number two, we trust our doctors. We lay down, let them put us to sleep, cut on us. We trust our bankers. We put all of our money in there. We trust our lawyers. We trust our scientists, our educators, our psychologists. And they think the world was made in Zion years. Isaiah 44:2 says, thus saith the Lord God that made thee and formed thee from the womb, which all which will help thee, fear God. Let's study those words. Several kinds of fear. There's a fear of being afraid of something, and there's a fear of being fearful of not doing what God wants you to do. That's what it means when it says to fear God. I better get in God's plan. I better do what God wants. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, for thou, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. If God chose you, if God before you, nobody can be against you. One thing in all my suffering, I've learned to love God more, my country more. Did you see my socks this morning? You like them? I like this country. I love this country. I died for this country, and I may have to do it. These people, oh, we better not do that. We might get in trouble. Jeremiah got in trouble. A lot of those people got in trouble. Those martyrs that Woody was talking about in Sunday school this morning, they got in trouble transferring Bibles, helping people. Many of them are in prison. Some of them are killed. I'd rather die in trouble for God than live in trouble for the world, wouldn't you? This world's in trouble. Isn't Fauci a clown? Isn't he, no? I mean, he is really funny when you stop and think. Nobody can be that stupid. And nobody can think that we're that stupid. But him, stupid. You know, his boy was working in that one place over there. I think partly running it where that disease came out. Probably still there. And he's still telling us, no mask now. Yeah, we've got to go back to the mask. And I told you once, you heard it, right? The Bible says we don't have to wear a mask. Paul's on the road to Damascus. Get on the Damascus road. Okay, I know they're getting old, but they're still good. Okay. We have not because we ask not. How big is your God? Are you afraid to pray for... Oh, I don't know if God would do that. Pray and ask him. God don't get mad when you ask. God simply says no, yes, maybe. The Bible says if you get in God's will, he will even give you the delights of your heart. How about that? The delights of your heart. And you're struggling around, I'm going to stick that money away. Going to buy me a new four-wheeler. Going to buy me a new shotgun. Going to buy me a new pistol. Put that away. Put that away. And inflation goes up. I ain't got enough. God said, I've been waiting for you to ask me. If we delight in him, not ourselves, not what we can do, but what God can do. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. We have not because we ask not. James 1:2. You lust, that means you want stuff. You have not. You kill. Catch a bigger fish. I saw the park, their cars parked out by the creek this morning. Going after, years ago, I don't know if I told you about this or not, I had a deacon in my church who was a pilot. I took a lot of flying with him. He had a light Piper. And we was pasturing out in Madison, Indiana, along the Ohio River there. And they had a beautiful golf course out there. And he was a big one for preaching and getting the gospel out. And he said, Pastor, would you like if we rig up the airplane and I'll get a speaker on it and I'll fly real low over the golf course on Sunday morning, there's people skipping church and you can preach to them. And I said, that's a great idea. So we did. And I had the door open, sitting there looking, big old speaker there, and he's putting her down pretty low. I looked down and the guy was getting ready to swing his club. And I said, hey, brother, you know you, are you saved? And he swung and he hit about a foot from the ball. And he's shaking his fist at me. I said, God loves you. We made his fruit pass. We also used to go down to the courthouse. He put that speaker on top of his car. And we'd fly around town in Madison. Get the gospel out. Tell people about it. We war, we desire to have, we cannot obtain. We fight in war. You have not because you ask not. That's one of the reasons you don't have. Think of that. You got to ask God. You got to ask God. You know, I usually start my prayers like this. God, I want this, but if you don't want it for me, I don't want it. But show me plainly. I want to know from you. Not from somebody else's opinion. We have because we ask for the wrong things. We think materialistically and not spiritually. James 4:3. Ye ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you would consume it up on your lust. How about this? Now don't throw anything at me. How about saying, God, can I get a little more money so I can give more to the church, more to the missions? You ever thought about that? You ever thought about that? I was concerned about some money that somebody owed me. And I said, Charlotte, I called her on the phone, I said, I think I should go ask that person for that money. She said, no, they can live with it. We can live without it. So I prayed. And of course, she's gone. I had to put the money in the checkbook. I got to find out for over a year, she made a mistake in one of my deposits. Got about $2,000, didn't know I had. How about that? Now I say, God, I can give some more to missions. Now, God, I can give some more. Thank you, Jesus. I don't want that old money. They want to keep it, keep it. Got to stand before God someday with that, huh? God told me he was ushering in church, and he got mad and quit. I said, why? He said, every Sunday morning when I go past the plate setting up in that choir, he said, I'm a dentist. And I made the teeth that's in that woman's mouth, and she hadn't paid me a dime. And I have to go in there and look at her. I don't want to go in there and look at her. I said, get over it. Get over it. God's bigger than any problem you got. Don't let somebody's crazy, foolish stuff drive you crazy. Don't let them drive you crazy. Let them be crazy. That's their wagon. Let them pull it. We get all stirred up. We have materialistic minds instead of spiritual minds. Colossians 3:2 says, set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. We're not staying here. We're not staying here. Naked you came, naked you go. You're going to go out. not having it. Matthew 22:37, Jesus said unto him, this was the rich guy, had lots of money, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. He said, I've kept the Ten Commandments since I grew up. He said, one thing you lack. You got too much money. Get rid of it. Then come back. You love that money more than you love me. Getting close to your hen house, huh? Proverbs 19:8. He that getteth wisdom loveth his own soul, and he that keepeth understanding shall find good. Understand. You can know what's ever in every library and every book in the world, but first you have to know thyself. Know thy heart. Know thy desires. Are they healthy? Are they God-centered? He says in Ecclesiastes 1:8, all things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. You can have beautiful paintings on the wall. You can have beautiful music coming through the speakers in your house. But do you have the center of God's will in your life? Is your God big enough to supply what you need? And if you do that, you have enough. Proverbs 27:12. A prudent man foreseeth evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Simple is to have it, not use it. You've got a brain in your head, and when you got saved, God gave you a spiritual mind to think like God wants you to think instead of the way you want to think. He says in 1 Corinthians 2:13, which things also we speak, not the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Get it right. Get it God's way. Get God's understanding. Get God's wisdom. Because the most important thing, and when we have the car show, and by the way, it's coming up, we have the revival out here, it's all centered on this last verse. Listen to it. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. That's foolish. You ought to do this. You ought to do that. We ought to have a picnic. Can we preach at it? Yeah, okay, let's have it. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Nothing more powerful than that book being preached. Back in the old days, the preacher was out riding his horse, preaching the gospel, went through one of those covered bridges. A burglar jumped out, said, get me down off that horse. Give me your money and I'm going to kill you. He said, brother, don't threaten me with heaven. But before you do, I want to give you a sermon that you're going to die and go to hell if you don't get saved. Before he got through, the man was on his knees bawling and crying and giving his heart to Jesus. The gospel is a powerful, powerful, powerful. Let's stand for closing prayer. Almighty God, most heavenly Father, people are dying by the hundreds and the thousands in Ukraine. They're dying in other places of disease. Help us reach them with the blessed gospel. Lord, help us to do what we can. Thank you for Mike and their team that helped those people. Lord, we look for more ways to touch lives that are lost and undone, that need to be saved, to come to Christ, teach the little ones before they get too old, while they're still young and tender-hearted. Oh, God, help us. Help us, Lord. Enlarge our borders. Give us more to do, God. We want to be like Jabez. We want a bigger plot to preach, to pray, to reach people, to help people. Help us, Lord God. Oh, God, help us. Lord, if there be one soul here this morning that doesn't know Christ as their personal Savior, I pray this morning that accept Him. While the piano begins to play softly, would you listen, please? If you're saved and know you're saved on the way to heaven, would you raise your hand and say, I'm saved and on my way to heaven. I know I am. If you cannot raise your hand, listen to me. Simple childlike prayer. Dear Lord, in the best way I know how, I confess I'm a sinner. But I don't want to die and go to hell without Christ. So right now I ask Him into my heart. Come in, Lord Jesus, and save me. Thank you. If you can pray that prayer, you pray it. You pray it. Almighty God, help us in this invitation. If one needs to be saved, one needs to be healed, one needs to forgive, one has a burden for children, grandparents, neighbors, let's come to the altar. Pray for them. In Jesus' name, amen. Come announce our hymn. We'll sing.
268. Once far from God and dead in sin, no light my heart could see, but in God's word the light I found, now Christ liveth in me. Christ liveth in me. Christ liveth in me. As rays of light from yonder sun, the flowers of earth set free. So life and light and love came forth from Christ living in me. Christ liveth in me. So praise the God of truth and grace, His Spirit dwelleth in me. Christ liveth in, Christ liveth in me. Oh, what a salvation this, that Christ liveth. With longing all my heart is filled, that like Him I may be. As on the wondrous thought I dwell, that Christ liveth in me. Christ liveth in me.
Amen. Pray for my swallowing. I think that chicken broth really put a little more kick into me. I think I need some more of that. But my throat hasn't had anything done in 4 years, and it's tender there, and that stuff kind of burns when it goes down. But that coffee, and I'm not a big lover of creaming coffee, but put those special creamers in it, and that sugar some way soothes that. It tastes good to me. So I got to have some more of that. And I loved it. And I have worldly passions. One of the ones I tell God, I've never been much of a fisherman. I tried it. But I love to hunt birds. And I've been praying. If I get my walking back a little bit, I'm going to go out there. They have some spring places where you can go. And I love shooting those birds. And I'm not as good as I once was. And I have to confess to God, and I already have, and I'll do it again. When I was young, I never came home with my limit birds. I always came home with more. Sometime my dog was to blame. Honest to God. This is honest to God truth. I shot one, was picking it up, and I looked around, my dog come carrying another one. I don't know where he got it, but he's bringing it. I said, I ain't letting that bird come. Take him too. It was wrong, but I did it. I confessed it. And the kids used to, that's when before they had all this money, making all this money, every Sunday they'd come to our house for Charlotte to fix that pheasant for them. We had pheasant. Okay? So pray about that. Now, I'm kind of changing the sermon around a little bit tonight. Woody excites me, and I'm going to preach a little tail off of some of what he preached, and we're having communion. That says, examine yourselves. So would you spend some time this afternoon, examine yourself? This is called communion. It means we're okay with God and okay with men, and we will have communion fellowship with God. Okay? Would you do that? I'm telling you as your pastor, and I do it. I've had a lot of time to do it. Okay? Anything else before we go? Shut up, Pastor. We're ready to go now, right? Okay? Woody's one of my favorite teachers and preachers. I got a few more. Oh, I forgot to tell you. I did tell you I'm going to be on WGSM. Did I tell you that? At 1 to 5. If you want to hear some good Christian talking, and we're begging people to send money because they need money. So they put Brother Dull and I out there. And we get together, we have fun. And I've also been invited, I don't know when. How many of you listened to Saturday morning to Brother Dull and Dave Kistler? I've been invited to be with those guys. And I said, I don't know, I don't meet up to your guys. They said, no, we want you. When you feel like you're able, come. So maybe I'll do that. Let's pray about that. God says, John, I'm not through with you yet. So, and I'm still looking for some guy we can get in here and train. Hope, still looking for that, trying that. God does all things good in his time. Right? Amen. Brother Wood, after all that, you owe me $5 and a prayer. Can you pray?